Today is as the no today is not the first last Sunday. We are here to oh we're here, sorry. Pastor Albert Lee is here. No, we're here. We are here to listen to Pastor Albert Lee's teaching. And today he's bringing us the word from Psalm 26, verse 1 to 12. And his title is Staying Close to God in a Broken World. For those who are not familiar with who Pastor Albert is, he's from Emmaus Evangelical Free Church, and he was involved in Daily Bread Ministries as well, and he's currently in business as a mission entity. So please talk to him a little bit more. He has a lot of interesting stories to tell about the work that he's doing. But for now, let's listen to the word in Psalms. That's the other beast.
Good morning. We are so glad to be out of the book of Judges. And last week we looked at the last three chapters, some of the most difficult, not in terms of difficulty, but in terms of how terrible human beings can be. So this Sunday, I thought we will look at Psalms 26 together, just 12 verses, and see how we can stay close to God in a broken world. Let's pray. Father, help us as we look at your word. May we see what you are saying, and may the Holy Spirit help bring those truths alive in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. September 2021, the National Unity Government of Myanmar launched a defensive war against the military junta. It has been happening, this civil war, for the last 3 years. How many lives were lost? Nobody's counting. On 24th February 2022, Russia invaded Ukraine. Today, more than 300,000 lives were lost. On 7 October 2023, Hamas attacked Israel. Today, more than 30,000 lives were lost. This morning, did you hear the news? Iran launched an attack on Israel. Does anybody guess where the USA from her military base in the Gulf area will attack Iran? Anyone here knows? Are we not living in a broken world where mankind inhumanity against each other is increasing? You may have not done anything personally wrong, yet you will still suffer from the consequences of other people's action. Last week, chatting with Pastor John, we agree that we are living in the last of the last days. The evil one, knowing that his time is limited, is working very hard to distract, to deceive, and to destroy, to do whatever it takes to prevent more from coming to know Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord. So you're going to bring another child into the world. Are you not discouraged? Don't. We don't know when the Lord will come. And that's why this morning we are studying Psalms 26 together, to see how we can stay close to God in this very broken world, and how we can allow God to continually use us for his purposes. So even though your child is born, And if the Lord tarries, and you have another 20, 30, 40 years, this child, if you disciple him and bring him to love the Lord and stay close to God, he can be used by God for God's purposes. As we can today be used by God in this fallen world, with fallen people, in spite of our fallen past, with fallen angels tempting and discouraging us from faithfulness to God. So let's look at Psalms 26. I read it first in the ESV version. Verse 1 reads like this: Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. When I read this, immediately I questioned, how can David say he was sinless? I have walked in my integrity. How can David say he was sinless? Then I read other versions, and in the NIV version, it says, Vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. It helps me to understand that David is not saying he was sinless, huh? But in the situation he was facing, he was blameless. A good thought, isn't it? Not sinless, but blameless. So I wondered who or what had caused David to cry out, Vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. The best fit I can think of, I did some research, is King Saul. For 7 years, David had to flee from Saul's murderous pursuit, running from city to city, hiding in caves in the wilderness, fleeing for his life. What had David done to have offended King Saul so badly? Why was King Saul so angry with David that while David was playing his harp, he took a spear and threw it at David? Now, please understand this. Saul is a warrior, a pretty good one. And so if a warrior takes his spear and throws it at you, it's not going to miss. But thankfully, David was still young and nimble and got out of the way. What did David do to have offended King Saul so badly? Well, we know about it in 1 Samuel 18, verse 7. When we hear the songs sang by ladies, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his ten of thousands. Jealousy made David into Saul's arch enemy, number one. You know, it is not difficult for people to get angry with us. And they may even attack us, even on the road. Just by, you know, nowadays, driving, people are tuk, 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 me behind. And I now know I'm officially senior citizens. Senior citizens don't move fast. But the young people with the zoom, zoom car behind me, tuk, tuk, tuk. Okay, please pass. You know, it's not angry. It's not difficult for people to get angry with us. And they may even attack us. Misperceptions, misunderstanding, misinformation, and misjudgment will result in conflicts. More than 20 years ago, two persons walked into my office. One shouted at me. The other was, I don't know whether he was smiling or smirking away. Enjoying the situation. I tried my best to calm the situation. I told that angry person, whom I will not describe more because if I describe him, they know him, that what he heard from someone about what I said about him was not true. After a long while, they left. Shortly after that, a police report investigation was made against me. The police did not tell me who made the report. Many times in the middle of the night, in the night, I also cried, "Vindicate me, O Lord God." For in this case, I am blameless. I did not do it. God is good. The investigation lasted only for 6 years and was closed because there were no evidence against me. Recently, I was very glad, actually last year, that person who shouted at me approached me at a wedding lunch. I didn't even know he was there. He said, "Hi, Albert, how are you?" And we had a very friendly chat, like good old friend. Lessons from Psalms 26 will help us stay close to God in this broken world with very difficult people, with very frustrated people, and even with very deceptive and wicked people. Psalms 26 tells us 7 things we must do to stay close to God in this fallen world, with fallen people, with their fallen past, and with fallen angels deceiving many. Firstly, what must we do? In verse 1, we must pray and trust God. Look at verse 1. "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering." Many of people think that prayer is to ask for something. It is, but really it is not the main thing. When I study about prayer in the Bible, of the prayers of many people like Daniel and so forth, I learned that prayer starts with acknowledging who God is. You see, when you go for a prayer meeting, what do you get? Sometimes you only get shopping. "God, I want this, I want that, I want this, can do this, can do that." We get prayer shopping. But really, when you look at the Bible's prayer, it's always, the majority is about who God is. So prayer in its name is about who God is. And only when we know who God is, then can we say like David, "I have trusted in the Lord without wavering." You can't say that. You cannot say, "I have trusted in God without wavering," until you know who your God is. This is the reason why the teaching of God's word is so critical in this local church. For knowing God's word will help us know God better. And knowing God better, who he is, will help us trust him. How do we stay close to God when people attack us? Defend and fight back may seem to be what many will do. But we who know God, as we seek resolution, we know that resolution will only come when we pray and trust God. So that's the first thing you must do. Pray and trust God. Secondly, in verse 2, we read, "Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind." Yes, David thinks he was blameless. But notice that he still was willing to submit himself to God's testing. Why? If you know you're blameless, why are you still saying, "God, test me"? Well, because David also knows that the only one who searches and judges the heart entirely correctly is God. Only God can see our hidden motives and thoughts. We may think that we are, you know, blameless. Really? God is the one who only knows, and he is the one who can render final judgment on our innocence. Why did the Bible say this about David in Acts 13:22? I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do my will. Why? Why? It is obviously not telling us that David is sinless, but it's always telling us that David is willing to submit himself to God. And notice that whenever God reveals David's sinfulness, David is very quick to repent. I mean, actually, honestly speaking, David is not my favorite Bible character. You know, a lot of people like David. Maybe because he plays harp, you know, the musician will like him. You know, and other people, they like him because he's a warrior. You know, but really, as a family man, David sucks. So he's not my favorite character. But David is known as a friend of God. Why? Because he was willing to submit himself to God. And when God tells him something is wrong, he repents. If you observe that most people find it very hard to say sorry, I don't know about today, you know, but in my days, parents teach their children to say sorry. Do they still do it? Have you been hearing of it? You do, huh? Okay, praise the Lord, you do. Say sorry. You know? So we teach children, say sorry. Then when we are wrong, we don't say sorry. Right? Nowadays, it's never our fault. It's the fault of others. In my early years of pastoring in Mayor's Church, I was helping two elders find reconciliation. I told the older elder this. Yes, the fault is not largely yours. But can you not say sorry for 10% of the mistake? You will only say sorry when it is 100% your mistake. You know, when husband and wife fight, I always tell people, the larger person is the one who says, I'm so sorry. Even for that 1% of my contribution. Well, if we don't recognize our mistakes, we will never learn from our mistakes. And if we don't learn from our mistakes, we'll never do that. There's a song that we sing in Psalms 139, 23 to 24. You know the song? I better not sing to you. I read to you, okay? Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there's some wicked ways in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Allowing God to test our hearts and our minds, set us free. To live our life with transparency and honesty. And you know, it is so liberating to live our life with honesty. I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at people's face and they actually wrong. Sorry, I'm lying. All the time I look at people's face. You know, when you meet me, I'm always looking at you. Where else should I look? But when I look at people's face, I don't just see nose, eyes, and ears, and mouth, and look at this position. And I can tell you this, now that I'm younger, I can see that this person has something tight. There's pain in their heart. There's aches in their family. You can see. I'm not a good counselor, because I didn't. I have no patience, that I can see. So it is a tremendous freedom to live our life with honesty and transparency. And it only happens, this freedom happens when we allow God to search our hearts and know our thoughts. And we learn how to bring all those hurts and pain to God and laid at his feet. And it sets us free to live our life with transparency and honesty. So how to stay close to God in a fallen world where we can be deceived and we can even deceive ourselves? Huh? People deceive you. That's not the worst enemy. You deceive yourself. That's the worst enemy. How? Submit to God's testing and be willing to repent. Third, very quick, huh? We're moving through very quick. Verse 4 and 5, we read, I do not sit with men of falsehood, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the assemblies of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. After submitting to God, we must still do what David does. Separate himself from falsehood, from hypocrites, from evildoers and wicked people. Don't for the sake of position, prosperity, power, popularity, peer pressure, be associated with people who deal with half-truth, flattery, falsehood. Don't stay close to them because you want to get a kid. David knows that God will bless those who separate themselves from wickedness. How do we know he knows? Because he wrote Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. You remember Psalms chapter 1, verse 1? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the paths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, right? That's what he wrote. He knows. So after you submit to God, you must also separate yourself. And sometimes, and I say this, I'm not thinking of your church, so please don't know when I'm preaching to you, I'm not thinking about you. And now sometimes even in church, you have to separate from some people. Let me explain. In my youth years, I'm just very dangerous because Pastor John knows my youth years. I was attending a local church. And you know, after the sermon is over, it was lunchtime. And so, this being a fairly big church, many were going to lunch together in groups, right? And many, being human beings, would join groups that consist of successful people. And especially for me, I don't have a car in those days. I joined those who have cars to take me along, as today it will be. And also those who are doing well in the career. But after a while, I get very disturbed. Because during lunchtime, after hearing the sermon, instead of discussing what they learned from the sermon, they do nothing but complain about everything in the office, about government, and about everything. So, after a few months, and though I like to be among these successful people, I decided that I must separate. Because if I want to, in everything, give thanks as unto the Lord, I must separate from this group of Christians who want to do nothing but complain and complain. I cannot understand. They are doing so well, but they are still complaining. So this morning, I asked you for application, who and what must you separate from? Yes, you are submitting to God, but like David, you must also decide to separate yourself from something. Fourthly, in verse 6 to 7, David says, I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds. The custom of the Jews was to wash before prayer. Priests will not perform their sacred duties till they wash their hands in the temple's labor. So David was thinking of this custom when he said, I will wash my hands. But David added in two extra words, in innocence. I will wash my hands in innocence. What is David saying? He's saying that my washing will not be a show and tell exercise. My washing of my hands will not be something to show people. It must be an inner commitment to live rightly before God. And only in this way can we tell all of God's wondrous deeds. Why is it some Christians cannot talk about God's goodness? Well, because people know that, you know. This guy, he talk about God is good, but look at how guilty he is. So David said, I want to wash my hands in innocence. So that I want to live my life with honesty and transparency. So that, for what reason? So that I can tell of God's wondrous deeds. Whatever we do, remember this. Our final objective is to tell of God's wondrous deeds. It's not to tell people how good I am. It is about telling people how good God is. We live in a fallen world where honesty is no longer the best policy. How can we tell people of God's wondrous deeds? Only when we live our life with integrity. Lose, never mind. Even if you lose money, never mind. Just don't disqualify yourself from telling the people of God's wondrous deeds. Fifthly, in verse 8, David proclaimed, O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory lies. Though we have separated ourselves from falsehood, hypocrites, evildoers, and wicked people, though we seek to live our life in integrity and thanksgiving, yet we will still be affected by the curse of sin and death. Are we not? When people's sinfulness stab our hearts and we cannot take the knife out, what do we do? When you are pushed to dead ends, what do you do? Some will drown their sorrows with something. Some will cancel people out of their lives. Some will withdraw into deep depression. I tell you what I do, okay? I will sing. Those who know me will say, Albert, as if it is not bad enough, must you sing? Yes, I will sing. And this is my song. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Why do I sing this song? Like David, I know that this world is not my final home. You may separate yourself from wicked people. You may seek to live your life with innocence, yet you will be punished because you live in a broken and fallen world. And when you are so discouraged that you haven't done your best, yet it seems that you are not rewarded, what do you do? Say, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing. This world, brothers and sisters, is not your final home. Don't ever think that this is our home. That's why the Bible calls us as sojourners. This world may be our tent, huh? Maybe our tent. Sorry, those who are in real estate, this world, we are asking people to buy houses. But actually, for us Christians, this world is just the place we stay, the tent. You know, tent is temporary, right? It's not going to be forever and ever. Battered by sin and shame, battered by aches and pain, do we not long for our final home? Let us join David to pray this prayer in Psalms 27, verse 4. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. How do we stay close to God in this broken world with broken, many broken homes? No? You know, my church do neighborhood work with children in the Circuit Road area, the MacPherson Circuit Road area. You know, that your roots are somewhere there. There are many broken homes there. Many. How? We remember where is our final home. And we help those children know that this world is not their home. That they can, through Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord, also have that final home. Sixthly, in verse 9 to 11, David says, do not sweep my soul away with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are evil decrees, and in whose right hands are full of bribe. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity, redeem me, and be gracious to me. Do you feel the feeling of David that sinners can really sweep you away? Huh? Do you sometimes not feel that you are among bloodthirsty men whose hands are, you know, you never know what they're going to do. And if they cannot get things done, they'll bribe. So what do we do? Well, see how David pleads with God for two things. Firstly, he asks for God's mercy and grace. Be gracious to me. God, please, the Lord, be gracious. Then secondly, he asks God to redeem him. Redeem me. Change my life. I cannot change people, Lord, but I can allow you to change me. There are many stories about how in the marriage relationship, you know, should I tell you of my silly jokes? Long time ago, it just came back to my mind. You know, we say that when a bride gets married, there's three things she concentrates on. The first thing she concentrates on is that she walks down the aisle. You know? Be careful, huh? Don't stumble, right? The wedding gown is a bit clumsy, beautiful but clumsy, because, you know, you cannot dance in it, you just walk carefully. So she concentrates on walking down the aisle and don't stumble. Then as she approaches the front, she focuses on the altar, right? That's where the pastor will be at. She focuses on the altar. Then at the service, at the wedding ceremony continues, she concentrates on the themes. So three things the bride does. The ask, the altar, and the hymn. She thinks, I author him. I will author Sorry, this is one of my lame jokes. My children say, ah, you are very lame. You know, sometimes some wives and even some husbands think that they can alter, change their wife and their husband. As we in Chinese say, tangku ah, tangku ah. We cannot change people. But we can allow God to change them. And when God changed our life, He put through our changed life impact on us. So how do we stay close to God in a broken world where people want sometimes to tear us up? Allow God's, depend on God's mercy and grace and allow Him to transform us. Okay, finally in verse 12, David says, "My foot stands on level ground. In the great assembly, I will bless the Lord." My foot stands on level ground communicates the idea of standing on a sure and solid foundation. What is our sure and solid foundation? Is it not what Christ said to us in John 16, verse 33? This is what Christ said. Huh? "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Take heart. I have overcome the world." Hey, Jesus Christ said, "Don't worry, huh? You will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world." Christ has overcome everything, including death. He is a sure and solid foundation. So let me summarize by asking you, what is your wish for your life? This is not New Year's Day. New Year's Day is the kind of time to ask this question. But let me ask you anyway, what is your wish for your life? To live, to have a pain-free life, to have a problem-free life, or to have a pleasure-free life, or to have a purposeful life. Let me say it again. To live a pain-free life, to live a problem-free life, to have a pleasureful life, or to live a purposeful life. I'm now in my sunset years. I don't know how long the sunset will last, but I ask the Lord, not for a longer life. You know, I tell people, don't pray for a longer life. Just pray for life lived with purpose and meaning. You know, I don't know whether you still have this today or not. But years ago when I was staying in Bedok Reservoir, 4-room flat, I would go downstairs, and 4-room flat had a little bit different scenario from other flats. 4-3-room, 2-room flats. I would go downstairs and I would see some uncle sitting there. And one day I asked the uncle, "Uncle, japa bo?" "Ma bo, ai jia?" "Jia bo, ai jia." "Uncle, you zuo shimei?" He said, "Dang si." Waiting to die. No. No. So if you live a longer life and you're waiting to die, what's the point? So it's not longer, but whatever life God gives to us, let us learn to stand on level ground so that we can bless the Lord. Isn't that what we read? David says, huh? "My foot stands on level ground. In the great assembly, I will bless the Lord." Let us stand on sure and solid foundation, which is Christ, and let us bless Him. As we live in a difficult world, a problem-full world, a world full of pain and sorrows, let us stand on sure and solid foundation, which is Christ, who has overcome, and may we bless Him all the days of our life. So in summary, How do we stay close to God in a broken world with fallen people? Pray and trust. Submit to God and be willing to repent. Separate yourselves from ourselves from falsehood. Live with integrity, honesty, and thanksgiving. Remember our eternal home. Depend on God's mercy and grace and His redeeming work in our life. And bless the Lord and serve Him for whatever years He gives to us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. May your word speak to us the truth that we need to apply in our lives. Perhaps today we need to separate ourselves from some things that you are asking us to separate ourselves from. Perhaps today we think it's time for us to stop complaining and time to start giving thanks to you for whatever situation you present to us. Perhaps today, dear Father, it's time for us to remember that Christ has overcome and we need to trust Him. We need to bless Him. We need to serve Him. So, dear Father, I don't know what you are speaking to each of us. May your word through the Holy Spirit speaks to us that we may live our life with freedom. Freedom because of Christ. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.